found this in Ganymede.
What is it?
Well, it's
Signifiance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan. With me is Aaron O'Brien and Faith Hertzberg. And today, Justin isn't with us.
Nah.
I know there was a weird loophole in the space-time continuum, and
I just forgot to pick him up at the last draw.
He got stuck in.
He wanted to get to it because David's the one that forgot.
Yeah, no, he got stuck in a typhoon.
I didn't forget. But, you know, if you're worried about continuity and Synthaholics and Justin not being on this one, even though he said he was next time, space-time, you know, timey-wimey things. So, today we actually have Amanda Lynn with us. We're going to talk about one of her favorite episodes, Haven.
Next Generation.
Season 1. Ye olde season 1.
This is
the time where Tosh Yar was alive and breathing and saying things that don't make sense.
She was all right.
Riker looked like a teenage boy.
Yeah, they were all very, very young and very skinny. I mean, they looked like they just got out of, like, acting school.
Yeah. Except for maybe Patrick Stewart. But, you know.
Fresh-faced ensigns.
Yeah, no, it's actually, every time I go back, I mean, obviously there are some things that change over time, but, I mean, they are very young, you know. Extremely, it's like sometimes like you're like, wow, I can't believe how young they are because you've seen them grow so much.
I think it's like almost 26 years now because I remember when the Fathom event for the first Blu-ray came out, they actually played two of the episodes in the movie theater. I think that date was actually supposed to be the 25th anniversary, and so that was like a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Crazy. So yeah, so we have the Enterprise coming to the planet Haven. It's a mystical planet of healing. It's so relaxing.
Supposedly, and Patrick Stewart as Captain Picard's got a gut feeling that something's not going to go right here.
Something's not right here.
Although I do
this
want
planet's just too serene.
It's too perfect, and like
too pretty.
I also want to point out that they talk about going to shore leaf here, and just two episodes ago they had the shore leaf planet in the episode Justice,
right,
where Wesley gets condemned to death for
some games I don't
for
know
tripping.
How to play. Some games I don't know. Am I supposed to? I don't know if I want to go with
you
the adults.
Know. You saw those medical logs that your mother was looking at.
Your mother gave you your sex ed class, Wesley. You know.
As embarrassing as that was, you had to pay attention.
You were quizzed at the end of it as well. So,
was it an oral exam?
No! You went there!
I had to!
Oh.
I had to. I'm not going to apologize
all right.
for that.
But, and you know he always gets good grades, too, so his mom was happy.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, the real question was, it was a demonstration or oral? Like, that's my only question. That's it.
We're enlightened in the 24th century. Little things like that don't bother
Have
us.
Have we really just inferred that Wesley and Beverly had an incestual relationship?
If people haven't picked up on it by now, there's something wrong.
Oh, God. So,
anyway.
I'm putting it in reverse, and I'm pulling back slowly.
Hey, I'm not the person that usually does that.
Yeah, I know. That was really
That was awesome, Faith. Congratulations. You are truly a synthaholic.
Oh, my
God. I mean.
Anyways, we're going to go back to Haven, where things are nice.
And yeah, Picard has a premonition that things aren't going to go
like
right.
Things aren't. Seems too serene. And, they get a then we have a young Commander Riker hanging out in his quarters.
Yes, he's hanging out in his quarters watching two women play the harp, and this is on HBO. They wouldn't have been wearing clothes.
Two nice looking young girls playing the harp, and he just seems at just like this is the life for him.
Best.
He's like, I couldn't be anywhere else right now.
And then he gets a call, and his face is so frustrated,
he's like,
that he's got to go to the
transporter.
He doesn't
respond.
He's like, ah. Oh. He rolls his eyes like he's so disappointed.
He's like, God damn it, Tasha. Can't okay, you handle
okay,
one?
Okay, they're beaming a strange object from the surface. If it's dangerous, why would you call your first officer? You're the security officer, handle it.
Yeah, it's like, why are you bugging? It's like, you know, like, oh, sir, I got a package coming in. I got the freight gate. Do you want to be here? That's what I pay you for. You sign in the packages.
Well, no, it's a typical management issue. Shit goes wrong, you blame the person higher up.
Yeah, well,
and then your ass is not in the fire.
And that's what Tasha did, because Tasha basically goes, she basically says to, it's like, I don't know what is this package is, so I am just going to
pass it along.
Just to, like, get Riker on here. I mean, well, I don't want to bug the captain.
No, yeah, let's not bug the captain. Let's not potentially get the captain killed if it's something dangerous.
Right.
But isn't it addressed
To Deanna Troi?
Deanna Troi, really?
I would assume it was, but they said it was...
Because she walks in like a second later.
And they did say it was an unknown package, but there must have been some kind of like a psychic beacon to bring her in there. That's the only thing I thought.
Now, I'm sure Mom was able to get something to her from the surface.
Oh, probably.
They've hinted at that off and on. She was able to sense that... She was basically told that, you know, my mom's not coming here until after these guys go. And yeah. Then... to array to beam up.
So the box is beamed up, and
it's got a face on it.
And who's the face?
It's Armin Shimmerman, Quark.
Before he was ever Quark?
Before he was Quark.
He was a metal box.
Yes.
A metal box full of really shiny stuff.
And I have to say, whoever decided to buy this box for a wedding proposal or, like, you know, a gift, it is a very disturbing gift. I mean, if I don't care how much in the future we are, that's disturbing.
It only activates when the recipient walks
it's
in.
Like, oh, you're here.
You're here. I'm going to speak to you.
You're going
creepy.
To be married.
And it spits out lots of jewels. Yep. And like there's no currency in the 24th century. Like, I mean, the whole point of a wedding dowry is like basically like to buy off the father of the bride,
sure,
which is deceased, but also it's a currency exchange.
Well, I think we've definitely established that this is a an older custom that is kind of not as well practiced. But I think it touches on a lot of things. I mean, in America, we don't see it as much, that we don't see arranged marriages. But in other parts of the world, arranged marriage is a very, very, like, it's a common thing. Like, in a lot of Arab countries, Indian, Asian countries, you see a lot of arranged marriages.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, and it doesn't mean those people don't love each other. They just, it's a different way of life than we have. You know, we have a different narrative. As Americans and Western society. So I think this kind of touches on it a little bit.
Yeah. So,
for sure.
Because Picard even mentions that this is a barbaric, or not barbaric, but like a custom that
an
just,
older tradition
that just doesn't make sense in this day and
right,
time.
Right, exactly. So after they get the gifts, Deanna Troi is like, it's for me. I'm getting married. I don't want to. Yeah, and there you have a young Bill Riker. They mention his name is Bill a couple times in this episode. And it's. I don't think they call him Bill after this. It goes by Will after that. But... young Bill Riker is very upset at Deanna with this whole thing because she is to him the Imzadi. So
yes, it's the special bond that they have, and I like how they reference this later. So we'll talk about that as they reference it later.
Right. So and obviously he's upset. I mean, he made a career choice to say to Deanna that, I mean, I'm in love with you, I love you, but I want to be I pursue my career as a as a captain.
And so, that's actually one of my points about this episode, is that it's that whole he wants his cake and to eat it too.
Oh, sure.
Oh, and he does in Nemesis.
Well,
because he wants he wants to be a starship captain, but he also wants Deanna to not be married.
He wants to be a starship captain so much he turns it down about 16 times.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, but I mean, that's a good point, and I think that's a tribute to a lot of people who have like a certain goal-oriented life is that I want to achieve these goals, and in the meantime, I want you to stay in this holding pattern for me while I get this figured out. So, and some people are like, nah, I'm going to move on with my life, you know, so, you know, but that, I mean, that is a good point. I think that.
But I don't understand. Like, she's willing to drop the Enterprise to marry Wyatt. It's a guy she never met before. And she knows she's not going to stay on the Enterprise, but she's never met them or talked to him ever before. So I'm just kind
of
like, well, how do you.
It's not a question of willing to. It's actually, that's a matter of tradition. The wife goes to join the husband wherever they are. It's not her decision at all.
Right, and she respects
She's
that.
She's forced to do that.
She respects that tradition. I mean, she even tells her mother later on and says, I don't really like this, but I'm going to go along with it just because, you know, it's the traditional way. You know, I mean, I guess she could have flat out refused and. You know, maybe cause some waves. I mean, Deanna Troi could have refused all this, but she's going along with it. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, Bill Riker.
We're
going to
do that.
Okay. I'm calling him Bill.
Let's get really
old Willie.
Let's get really informal.
No, but he.
I guess we'll have to switch it to Bill Scores.
Bill Scores.
Then it could go either way with William Shatner or
There you go. But he definitely was upset with this, and you know, I guess it's anything. It's like, you know, he's feeling upset that, you know, that this was never going to work out. So maybe this is the reality coming in, which.
You know, he should have jumped on it as soon as Wyatt was out of the picture, because like. She was willing to go leave her job to go be with him. So I was like, maybe I can make her go do her job with me if I go somewhere else. I mean, she's willing to do it with Wyatt. I mean,
it shouldn't be
that hard to pull some strings and get her transferred.
Right. So.
Yeah, but I think the problem with it is that he doesn't want to marry or have a commitment because he sees that Picard is not married or has any kind of commitment, and he kind of feels like that's how you have to be a Starfleet captain.
Well, that's true. I mean,
it's more Riker just can't keep it in his pants. At this age, he's very mature. He's very much, ooh, that's a pretty flower. I like that one. I like that. Ooh, can I just have them all?
Yeah,
he hasn't quite settled down.
And he does.
Doesn't he, though?
Oh, I can't wait to talk about the episode where he sleeps with Ro whenever they forget they hate each other. And then like, Ro and Deanna are talking about, they're trading the secrets about what he does to them.
Did you see his micro penis? It's so small! He replicates an extender.
He likes you to talk to it. It makes him feel better about it.
Oh, man, that's going to be a fun one to talk about, too.
Well,
sorry.
obviously...
We're still in the first 5 minutes of the episode, guys.
So, obviously, Riker's not crazy about this. And then Data comes to give a personal message because he can't use a communicator.
I thought that was
just
really
need screen time.
It's just like, oh, Brent Spiner's required this amount of screen time per episode.
My contract
or something.
Requires I be on the
hey
scene.
Hey, now, back off of Data.
No, I'm not.
The main reason to watch Next Generation.
Oh yeah, he's one of my favorite characters. I just thought it was really strange that.
But he could have just gone to a boop.
Yeah,
Deanna Troi.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Anyway, so
he goes to the trouble of putting on the makeup. He's going to show his face.
And the other thing about this scene, just real quickly, it has nothing to do with the whole story. Is that Data's going to walk in the room and Will Riker's right there, and Will Riker will not get out of his way, and Data's like. Okay, I guess I'll move. And then, I mean, I just thought it was an odd scene. Like, why did you even put that in there?
No, I also like how Picard's no longer even in the room either.
This is very much like Picard. You're a backseat character in this. And he's like, this is part I leave. He has more than one part of it. Like, this is the first time he leaves. The next time is when he was with Lexana in his room.
It's so weird.
And he kind of bows out.
Yeah, and then they go back to the transporter to beam up the parents.
Yeah.
And then Wyatt. And Wyatt gives her a nice flower that changes color. It's a mood flower.
I'm surprised it didn't turn black.
I love that flower.
Yeah, I'm surprised
they
didn't.
They should have done more with it.
Yeah, but yes. I did notice it was changing throughout, like, every time she was holding it. It was changing here and there, so.
Yeah, it's
sometimes like when her mom arrived and Picard takes the bag of that, it all stays white down the hallway right up until the end there.
Yeah,
when she gets really pissed off.
And What was I going to say? So she meets the parents. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but the father, Wise father, actually plays the Federation president in Star Trek IV.
That's right. Yes.
Oh, and you wouldn't even recognize because he's got the beard. Yeah. But in this one, he's kind of a goofy-looking guy. Like,
so if you recognize your reflection in his dome, you might get it.
Yeah. And his mother and father seem like caring parents, and young Wyatt is a young little
dashing lad,
nice looking lad, and very sensitive
about his art.
Yeah, no, he seems like a nice. I like Wyatt. If I met Wyatt, I think I'd like him.
Yeah, he seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's immediately a non-threatening, submissive, sweet, innocent male.
I hear the check marks going chink. Cha-chink, cha-chink, cha-chink.
This is marrying material.
He's non-threatening.
He's marrying material. I don't even think he shaves.
No, I don't think he has to.
He's naturally hairless. It's a condition in the future, right? Like Picard.
Isn't that a thing where you become hairless?
Yeah, that's where it went too far.
All right.
What?
No, the genetic manipulation. If they were trying to make it so that nobody could grow, you know, facial hair and stuff like that, they accidentally went a little too far with Picard.
That's right.
That's probably why he doesn't talk about it.
If the eugenic wars gave us anything, is hairlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Khan taught us that. He did not have a hairy chest.
Exactly. He was all about having that thing front and center.
Nice and cleanly.
Oh, yeah.
No shaving.
Clearly presented and displayed, framed appropriately.
Yes.
Yes.
With the appropriate accessories.
You have to dress sparsely on SETI Alpha 5.
Oh, yeah. Or you get sandblasted. Anyways.
Maybe his hair got sandblasted off because he wore that big open chest.
He was like, yes. Anyways, so they meet Wyatt, and she automatically gets the impression that that
something's he thinks something's wrong.
Yeah, it's like, that's not who I thought I was going to meet. And we don't know what the reason is. But so Deanna senses the feelings that Wyatt, even not disappointed, but it was a surprise to meet Deanna. He didn't think that's what she was going to be like. So
apparently there's no picture books in the future or internet to look up their profile.
No Facebook. That's a good point.
like he knows.
How they figured it out.
He knows the woman's mother, and the woman's mother doesn't have any photographic evidence.
You know how they have there should be like a mock Facebook out there of all the Star Trek characters and what they like, their Facebook posts and stuff like that. That'd be hilarious.
Riker's is going to be so awesome.
Oh, my God. Well, it'd be like basically Riker, his Google tweets. Riker Googling, yeah.
That's a good Twitter.
If you haven't seen that,
Twitter posts.
Definitely follow it.
Those are like side splitting. Anyways.
Actually, to add to the point that we were on, they haven't seen the other family in like over a decade.
Right.
Even though they mentioned on the same planet.
Well,
Lexana's not really big on communication. Like, hey, that would be fucking helpful.
Right. And not just that, but I mean, she did, the mother did mention to Deanna, says, you probably don't even remember me. Cause she was like, you know, she was probably little when last time she saw her. So the parents and Wyatt, they leave, and then we get the first appearance
of Deanna Troi's mom, Lexana Troi. Yeah. She was married to Gene Roddenberry, and she was Nurse Chapel in the original series.
Yes, she was. And she is a force to be reckoned with. I personally love every time she shows up on the shows. Even though this was pretty good for the season, she wasn't quite as a presence, I think, as she is in future episodes. But, I mean, I think she's all there. The character's all there. I just think the writing hasn't been flushed out for her as well. So she comes in. She's with her valet. What was this, Mr. Whom?
Mr. Whom.
Mr.
Yeah.
Whom.
Yeah. And Mr. Whom, who plays the giant in Twin Peaks, if anybody watches Twin Peaks, which is a huge favorite of mine. So he plays the giant in Twin Peaks as well, so that's surreal. And she's asking Deanna to speak telepathically with her, and Deanna won't do it because she's in presence of other humans, trying to be kind of respectful of her comrades. And... they Loxana makes.
I have a love-hate relationship with this character. I really do.
Really? I think she's great.
I think every character she's in.
The reason why is because she reminds me of my mom.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of my favorite episodes because she's on it. And my mom is that overbearing, you know, you must do it this way.
Oh, darling, you have to do it this way. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I can love-hate relationship with the character.
I can see that. I didn't have a mom like that, so I absolutely adore Loxana Troy every time she's on screen.
Yeah, my mom's not like that either. Yeah, my mom's not that either. I could see how that'd be annoying. I just like her as a character. I think she's a great character every time she shows up.
Yeah, even in Deep Space Nine, the two couple episodes she shows up there, fantastic episodes. Yeah,
she's just so powerful and carefree and just... No shit's given. Just absolutely no shit's given. You're going to conform to me, I'm not going to conform to you, and I'm going to sweep through this place like a natural disaster.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing about her. But that's also goes to, I think, the testament for the Betazoid, like they're just how they are. Is that they don't have any secrets. They're just completely honest.
No filter.
Yeah. God, I've had that said about me. Now I understand what it feels to be on the receiving end of the blood.
Well, no. Wow. I mean, it's like, to me, it's like, I like the idea of, I mean, I wouldn't want to live with it, but I do like the idea of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I could, I don't think I could do that. It's an interesting concept
right until it cuts.
I filter myself quite a bit. I mean, I know it doesn't seem like so much in the show, but
what? You filter yourself?
I filter myself quite a bit.
We're not required to do that here, Aaron.
Yeah, I know. No. I think we should. Anyways, so.
Growing up with this show, because it actually came out the year I was born.
Oh, God. Don't say that.
Sorry.
We already make Aaron feel old enough.
I know. I'm so old.
it's all right.
I, of course, have to watch the reruns, but my mom was in no way nerdy whatsoever. Mm-hmm. She didn't like anything sci-fi. So I would kind of sneak watching Next Generation.
Right.
And I found myself just kind of drawn to Troy.
Yeah.
Because I have that empathy, you know, obviously not to that level, but I have compassion, and I've thought about once or twice becoming some kind of counselor.
That's cool.
Never happened, though.
That's cool. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life's not over yet. You can still do it.
I'm going to cosmetology, so.
All right.
So, it's like a therapist, but I also do hair.
There you go.
It still works the same. I mean, you could bartend and still have the same effect. I mean, look what I completely spaced on what her name was. Whoopi Goldberg's character.
Guinan?
Thank you.
My name's Guinan.
Yes, you could be a bartender and do the...
Oh, believe me.
Oh, Quark. Me. Quark does it too, except he's also trying to extort people and also trying to get sexual favors.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, just favors. Sex, money, power.
Well, I'm assuming sexual favors, because I'm assuming Umlaut's a sexual by the way they roll their eyes back and make sounds.
Anyways, let's not talk about Quark. And so...
Poor Aaron, we're just stepping on every one of them.
I'll apologize now. And going back to the cosmetology thing, I think it's funny that on the Enterprise, the Bolians with no hair whatsoever are the ones doing the...
And he spends his most time on Picard, which has the shortest hair, who doesn't really need it. Anyways, so that being said, we are still not even after the first act.
this is how we roll on Synthaholics. We break it down.
Let's speed it up a little bit more.
moving on.
So Picard, Loxana asked him to bring his her baggage.
Yeah, her giant match lug. I just think of the match luggage from Spaceballs.
Yeah, exactly.
Just giant.
But why wouldn't they have like anti-grav like pads or something to throw that on? And just like,
oh, I'm sure they would typically. That looks like what he was expecting.
Right.
But Mr. Holmes was the valet, and also apparently the Betazoids are very ritualistic, I guess. Maybe they're held into their own ways of tradition.
Yeah.
So maybe they use traditional language, like along with the traditional, you know, arranged marriages.
Yeah, but asking your host to carry your bags for you is just a sign of
respect or something. Right. And the card's like barely able
to
hold it.
She's assessing him and how big his stick is, basically. That's true. I mean, if he has to stand up and go, well, no, we can assist this, or if he's going to be extremely polite and courteous, yeah, you get a really big measure of who a person is by the way they react to some things. And his reaction is kind of interesting.
It's really good. Like, I love Patrick Stewart's way he works with her every single time they're on episodes together.
Yeah, he becomes completely, not unhinged, but he becomes, he falls out of his normal character and he becomes more of the subservient or something.
Like, and it's because he's actually attracted to her, because I don't think she's joking whenever she's... when she says sexual things about him that he's thinking. Right. I think there is some I think there definitely is some attraction. He just doesn't want to admit it.
There was, and he actually, from what I remember from reading, he is actually enamored with her.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not really a sexual attraction, it's her strength, her dynamic, her character. Like, he just, you know, she's very powerful.
She's a very, very strong character, and a force to be reckoned with, and he hides in the holodeck.
She's gorgeous. I mean, you can't deny that she is a very beautiful woman.
She is a very beautiful woman. I think Aaron and I both
we've said
on that one.
We're just like, yes, because we were mocking Quark because he didn't want to. I was like, what's wrong, Quark? Anyways,
I'd rather have Troy.
Well, all right.
I would kill to actually look like Luxana at her age.
She's a beautiful woman.
Yes.
So, just going forward from there, obviously Picard bows out because he was like, I'm out of my depth.
I can't do this.
Especially after the awkward turbo lift conversation. He's like, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
Right. And,
gotta hide the boner.
And then, we have a brief exchange between, Deanna and Loxana in her quarters. And that's where, Deanna said, I'm not crazy about this, but I'm going to go through with it because it is our way. And, you definitely get the sense that this is not where Deanna wanted her life to go right now. That, you know, that they didn't think that this would ever be, like...
A thing.
Yeah.
She knew it was a thing, but she's like, yeah, it's not going to happen. It's never going to really happen.
Well, it's a possibility it wouldn't have happened because Wyatt was a human, you know, living on Earth or wherever he was. And he, you know, maybe fell in love with somebody else, but apparently Wyatt didn't have anything going on back home, so...
I guess...
And he was obsessing about these other things. And that's the next thing we learn is that Deanna comes to visit Wyatt in his room. Wyatt's forlorn in his bedroom.
He's got about 60 drawings of this other beautiful woman.
Yeah, and he's like, who are these pictures of? And he's like, I've been dreaming of this lady, and you're not her. What the hell? I thought you were talking to me. In my dreams,
because you're telepathic, so,
yeah,
you know,
actually a natural leap of what you think it would be, but
I can buy that.
Yeah, but he's really smooth about it though, because he's like, it doesn't matter. It was a childish fantasy, and I'm gonna love you anyway. You are beautiful, and I'm honored to be with you.
No, why?
However, his body language though through the whole thing is just very much. I'm gonna hold on to this
clutching.
Childish
he's clutching that photo.
Right. No. Yeah. I think he says the right words. I mean, Wyatt knows how to say the right things. That's for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's funny the level of humility between the two of them, that they're both, you know, well, I'm just gonna be very self sacrificing and do the right thing. It's like, well, sometimes doing the right thing means doing what's best for both parties, and this doesn't seem like it's best for anybody.
And during this exchange, he's worried he's got competition in Riker because she does mention that she has had a link with somebody before.
And he's like,
and he's on the ship.
Riker, that guy. He's old news.
He's like, do I have any competition? It's like, and then like, no. Sort of.
He's a type A personality to just say no for take no for an answer. Maybe. So
there's a nice dinner.
Well, wait. We have the next big thing. We get a call from Haven saying that there is a ship approaching. And this ship is actually a plague ship.
Plague ship!
The Terellian ship was known. They had this, their civilization had this biological warfare at one time. And it basically killed out their whole race and anybody else who came in contact with them
as a carrier, and they
would get it as well. So they were either died of the plague or they were hunted down, you know, for because nobody wanted to get the plague. And this is a...
They thought they'd be an extinct for 8 years.
Right. So here's a ship flying sub-warp through space, which has got to be, like, ridiculously a long time.
Let's go slow. Let's go slow.
So,
let's go slow.
Hard to believe. So hard.
Well, if you're not going to be able to land anywhere because everybody's going to be like, "Oh no, it's a plague ship."
I guess you don't.
Of course, you're just going to kind of go slow and just lumber through space.
I guess you're not in a hurry to get anywhere.
Yeah,
when like, everyone hates you.
It's like maybe that Haven plan will be like all like gone. Maybe everybody will move by the time we get there. So that being said, they try to communicate with it, but they're not responding to any of their communications, and they're watching it come in. Picard,
I love how the woman on Haven tells Picard that non-communication is a signal of aggression. That should be common knowledge, especially after Wrath of Khan.
right. No, it should be.
I mean, we've got living proof that non-communication is definitely a bad thing.
Well, I think we see it more than once, but
well, no, Wrath of Khan is the biggest one.
No, this reoccurs frequently. This is a constant theme of many formats.
But we don't know. I mean, like, I think Picard's playing it safe because he knows that if this is plague ship that. Maybe there's a chance they could help them, but they also have to have. I mean, they do have the duty to protect Haven from this. So,
like, I feel like Star Trek's been off the air for a long time, and this is like episode 10, and so they're kind of like spoon feeding the audience. This is what the Prime Directive's about.
Well, why would this be Prime Directive?
Well, because he says in like the meeting, it's like, oh, we're duty bound to this, but you know, our directive also says we should help those in need.
Right. Okay, but that's not their prime directive. But
I mean, it's
it is it. It is it's, no it's, it is a huge thing for the Federation. Yeah, absolutely. That they have to help people. I mean, it's not like
help people as long as they're warp capable. If not, screw them.
Screw up. You're on your own. But yeah. So here we have these people who are they're not communicating. They have some sort of plague, but they don't know if anybody's even alive on the ship.
Yeah, because there's no communication.
And the ship's getting closer.
And Picard's worried they'll be all destroyed.
Well,
cut to black. Cut to commercial.
Well, I mean, that was a little bit of heavy-handed on the teaser there, but yeah. So they become they have a meeting saying we have to find answers for this, and at the same time they're going to be a like a little reception dinner celebration for their engagement, and Riker storms off. I'm not doing it.
He's so pouty in this episode.
I'm
going
to get my toys and go home.
Yeah. So
it seems just typical Riker to me, though.
He's like, I'm not scoring in this episode. It's not a good episode.
I'm frustrated. I'm so sorts of frustrated.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to finish my harp show at the beginning.
I know.
It just started off a bad day for Riker. It's from the very beginning.
Yeah, it was going good for Riker in the beginning.
Nothing was going good. It just
went downhill for him.
His show gets interrupted.
It was Monday.
Yeah.
It was Monday.
It must have been Monday on Haven.
Okay, so that being said, the ship is getting closer. And
it'll take forever to reach them because it's a plague ship. And so because they'll take forever, let's have a nice dinner with the marriage party.
Not that. So they do have a nice dinner, and this is a great scene of
there's so many wonderful things about this scene.
Well, you get Loxana's first introduction to all her titles, which is wonderful. this is great, you know.
Holder the Secret Chalice,
yeah,
the Nine Rings of Beta Zed,
who are you? And she's like, eh.
I love how Picard like basically tells them shut up.
Yeah, Picard.
Yes.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
And the tall giant dinging the little.
Every time she would take a bite, no one else. It didn't matter when anyone else. And then only when she took a bite, and he's just drinking and drinking and drinking. I love Data's like. So is your lineage related to humans because of the amount that you imbibe? But he just does this great like upturned
turn his
head.
Nose, like,
it's like, oh, I can't believe you said that about me.
Anything a human about me, right?
All right. Since we're talking about Data, can we talk about the best part of that entire scene? just him circling and watching everybody.
Picard's like, you're acting like a you're hawk.
No, he says you're a buzzard. Like a
buzzard.
Circling.
And he's like, perhaps it's not as interesting for you, but as not human. This is extremely fascinating.
Yeah.
And the best part is, like, whenever Luxana is, like, you know, talking about how the wedding's going to be and how people are going to be naked and how the husband, you know, Wyatt's father just loves the idea of getting to see Luxana naked. And there's all this bickering going back and forth. He's like, no, I didn't think that to his wife. And then there's all this bickering and the bell's ringing and Deanna Troi's had enough. And she storms off. Is like, stop this petty bickering, especially you, mother. And then she runs out and she slams down the gong. And Data's like, please continue the petty bickering. I find it most intriguing.
Yeah.
This is the best.
That was so awesome.
That was a great, great punchline.
Yeah. Yes.
Great punchline.
Such awesomeness.
And I was thinking Picard was like, not going on your permit record, Deanna.
she was leaving. He wasn't even thinking about that.
I'm just joking.
But before this happens, Riker excuses himself because he can't stand seeing Wyatt and Deanna sitting next to each other. So he goes, I'm going to go think about the plague ship when he goes on the holodeck.
And he does his best. And Riker, here we come on the holodeck. He's doing his best James Dean out in the desert, just brooding and not feeling happy.
He probably had a GPS on Deanna. He was probably doing something else. He was like, oh, she's getting close. Got to switch the program. It's like, yeah.
Get those naked chicks out of here.
Deanna's coming.
Computer, change program.
Put my clothes back on.
Holographic
clothes.
Execute program. Sad desert. Now.
I want to go to the Alamo.
The Alamo.
Oh, we have not yet met Bashir.
Yeah, we don't know the Alamo yet.
We don't know of O'Brien's love for the Alamo till then. Until then, O'Brien's big at kayaking, and he likes hurting himself doing that, so who knows what's happening there.
This is true.
Anyway, so Deanna brings out the point and says, oh, I forgot young human males sometimes can't tell, can make the difference between platonic love and physical love.
And this is what I was kind of wanting to get to earlier, where she's like, well, does Imzadi not mean anything to you? And I'm just like, so is she like proposing an open marriage?
I don't think she meant necessarily that. I think she just meant that can you have heart place in your heart for two people. I think that's what she was like. Can you love two people, or you know, can you let me love somebody else? That kind of thing. I mean, that was my takeaway from it, was that, you know, can't you, you know, I'm going to marry Wyatt, but can't you still love me the way I love you, no matter what, you know? So,
yeah, maybe.
Well, she's also telling him that you're the one that said that we couldn't be together.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, stop being pouty and whiny about this, because I'm doing this out of tradition and I would have chose you, except you want to do this and I respect that.
Right. I mean, that's basically, and then obviously they get interrupted by Wyatt, who strangely enough just kind of walks on set. And, like, you don't even know.
Like, from stage left, there must be, like, an alternate entrance to the holodeck or something that we don't know about.
And to Riker's credit, he kind of played it off. We were just talking about you. And you could tell Riker wanted to knock his head off. He was like, you know, oh, you're the one who wanted to be Starship Captain.
And Riker's just like,
good luck with that. And he's, like, ready to blow his top.
Waiting for the steam to come out of his ears. And then Riker storms off the holodeck through the proper way, and not the way Wyatt came on, apparently.
Wyatt just came in through a service deck. He's like,
hello! He was Jeffrey's tube. He's just like, oh, you're here.
Yeah, where did he find it? Like, he just wandered into a holodeck.
It's so weird, like, because it's like really obvious when Deanna comes on, but like when Wyatt comes on, it's just like, oh, he's just here.
Yeah, and then
Wyatt steals a kiss from the lovely Deanna Troi.
Right.
So, on the rock.
Kissing on the rock. Kissy on the rock.
Using Riker's program. Come on. Could you at least load a new program?
I know. Could you write your own program, Wyatt?
Or at least Deanna load a program to kiss someone else in.
Yeah.
Like, that's where probably Riker and Deanna kissed before.
Yeah. You know. don't know. Anyways, then we go back to the bridge. Obviously, the ship has gotten far too close for Havens.
It's been 18 hours. The ship's close.
They've had a whole dinner. Everyone went to bed. And like, oh, that ship just kept on going, didn't it?
Oh, it didn't stop.
It didn't stop. So
they're throwing communications at it. So much so that they're getting the echo back off the ship.
Yeah, and not only that, even Geordi says, by now they could have communicated us by running lights. They could have at least told us something's going on.
Flashlight.
And unfortunately, the Haven's like, you better blow them out of the sky. Do not let them come out of this planet.
And Picard's like, let's track the beam. That'll keep them from beaming.
Yeah.
And then they decide to open up communication. It's like, what did you expect? And they've been trying to communicate with you for 18 hours now.
And who's on the ship?
It's a lady in a blue tube top.
And
we didn't see the tube top in the drawings, but it's the same lady.
Significantly less.
Yeah, she
not a lot of fabric for a tube top.
Well, you know,
she is. Yeah,
she lifts her arms up.
It was a nice outfit.
It's a brief garment.
And why it's about to make
shows off her assets. She's white tanned.
Yes, and why it's about to make a very important decision.
Well, and the problem is that out in space, where's she getting a tan like that? You know. And secondly,
yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was like, you look healthy for a plague.
Yeah, for someone who's riddled with plague,
they all look really healthy. The dad looks really healthy too.
And did you notice? I don't know if you noticed this, but the dad, the captain of the ship, is sitting in the chair of in Worf's room. It's the same
Probably.
Chair. It is. Yeah. I swear to God, it's the weirdest it's chair. Awesome. If you rewatch it or you watch where Worf's got that weird chair he has in his thing, that's his. So I think Worf beamed over to the plague ship, killed them all, and took the chair as a trophy. Anyways,
I can definitely see Worf trying to do something like that.
It's the only honorable thing to do.
Klingons not get plague.
And obviously,
the plague gets Klingon.
The plague gets Klingon.
In Soviet Russia, plague get Klingon.
So we have Deanna recognizes her from the drawings.
Yes, she's like, oh, and then Wyatt comes on. Like he's like, this doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, who are you to come on the bridge?
When did anything make sense to you, Wyatt? You've been drawing some chick since you were 10. That's been calling your name. You're psychotic.
And then it's like, it's her.
Yeah, it was her. And somehow she's communicated some kid from Earth makes very little sense. And even he goes to
Roxana Troy.
Yeah, Roxana, and ask him, like, what's going on? Why is this possible? And he's like,
oh, it's just so simple.
All life's put together somehow. It's combined and bound together. And it's like, but that. How did she find me?
And he's like, oh, she's like, this is how it is. So, but she's more interested in finding out how does this hairpiece look on me naked, and why it just doesn't even like. Could you try it out?
Yeah, he didn't bring that.
Could you try it out? I mean, I can't visualize it yet.
Well, I think the one thing we realize with Wyatt is that he's been obsessing about this woman since the day he was first seen her, like whatever he said, 10 or whenever he first saw her. So this is all his mind. It doesn't matter who's going to take their clothes off.
Poor Wyatt.
So this
he's got brain disease.
Her name is Ariana. That was her name.
Ariana.
Who's going to be
blonde microtube top.
Yeah, exactly. And the so go ahead.
Actually, she kind of mentioned a few times that Wyatt was special and that he was more open. And I think she knew that there was something. I don't know how to put it.
Maybe he's not pure human, because we definitely know Wesley's not pure human because he's got a little traveler in him. Or maybe there's a little traveler in his mom, but, you know.
No.
Really?
Let's not go down this, please. That's for another episode. Totally another episode.
Anyway, maybe that's why they chose that family for, you know, the betrothal, because maybe he's part Betazoid somewhere.
Well, exactly.
I think there's
they do the genetic testing, so he might have shown some sort of better adaptation to their genetics.
Well, the only thing I could think is the Trillians.
Something to enhance it.
Yeah, but I think the Trillians must have something far beyond their race, some ability, if it's communication or to see, because they actually travel to Haven, and even though they say that they want a place to stay on Haven, that they won't interact with anybody, that they actually, I mean, they say it later that they came for Wyatt. So there must be – they must knew at some point to draw Wyatt to Haven and know that the Enterprise was going to be in that area and that all this was
going
to come
together.
There's
a lot of, like, puppet master stuff going on behind
the
scenes with these people.
They communicate faster than their ship can travel.
Right. Although they don't answer their hails.
Telepathically, yes.
Although they don't answer their hails. So.
They're working – they're just thinking so hard about – contacting Wyatt, they just can't hit the button.
So that being all said, they realize obviously why we've come here to, you know, why it's here. We, you know, that these drawings are real. I mean, this is all real. I mean, this is like, this isn't just some made up thing.
I'm a real boy.
Dad, I'm real. You mean those pornographic drawings you were drawing of that girl was actually real? And I was actually Federation president at one time?
Dude.
So
many drawings.
So Wyatt decides he's going to prepare some medicines. We kind of left out that he is a medical doctor.
Oh, yeah.
And he focuses on disease. So, I mean, this is all kind of like, again, the
He studied it in school when he was a kid. And like, he even mentioned something earlier in the episode that makes me think that he already kind of knew this stuff was going to happen anyway. I don't remember exactly what the part was, but he just kind of mentioned
it. He said, I knew when I came to Haven I was here to get my meet my destiny. I just didn't think it was going to be this.
Yeah.
So he gets the medicine put together.
He goes and says a fond farewell to his mom and dad.
Mom and dad.
Steals
and
another kiss from Deanna Troi because it's like, well, you know, I might as well.
And then,
since I'm going to a plague ship and I might die.
Right. And he basically hyposprays the transporter chief, which is not O'Brien at this point.
Good thing. O'Brien gets enough abuse later on.
Yeah, yeah. And beams over, and he's on there. And they can't stop it beforehand. So, and that's the basically Wyatt's last act. He's gone over there, and he's going to, I guess, work on their cure and be married to Ariana. So
and the mom and dad burst on the bridge. It's like, beam him back. It's like, how did you know?
He's surrounded by those lepers. I love how they threw that one out there. Leper, it's like a flying leper colony. Actually, not so much a leper colony. It looks like a reject ship from the disco era. It's got like sort of like the disco ball in the background, and they're all kind of dressed in a disco garb. Yes, it's their lepers, disco.
It's
how we recycled the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this was done in 87, it was a full... Hey, you know. I told you, I was born in the 50s.
Yeah, see? Yeah,
hey, yeah.
See? Yeah, two scoops.
Two scoops. Nobody's going to get that till the end. Anyways.
Yeah, see?
No, we won't. Make me do that.
So Wyatt says his final goodbye, says mom and dad, and says, you know, goodbye to Deanna. And Deanna says, I'm happy for you. And thank God I don't have to get married.
And I don't have to leave the ship. Yes, I'm so good.
And the parents beam down, and they're kind of like, okay, see you later.
You can keep the jewels. You'll need them. You'll need them later.
I don't want those back. What? And then
they didn't want the creepy box. Armin Shimmerman was too much for them.
The box was cursed.
Armin Shimmerman doesn't like giving a profit. How did he just spew it all out?
That man was real in that box. He's cursed. And so, and then, Laxana comes in, and her valet, Mr. Hume, says, "Thank you for the drinks."
Oh, and earlier it was mentioned that she wanted him to do the ceremony, and the Wyatt's parents like, he can't even speak. And she's like, he's very adept at sign language. So it was really cool that she didn't even want to blow the cover that Mr. Home could talk.
Right.
She just went with it. It's like, okay, he's good at sign language.
And And she makes a, you know, they say goodbye, Deanna and Loxana, and she makes a little quip that just before he beams away, it's like,
That thought was dirtier than my previous valet.
Yeah, yeah.
And Picard's like, I was not amused. And Deanna said she was joking. I think she only said that to spare Picard's feelings. I'm pretty sure Picard was thinking it.
Yeah.
He blushed pretty good. Like, that's a pretty shade of red there. So.
Yeah. Like, I was not amused. He's like, I'll be in the holodeck.
You old dog.
And
I'll be in my bunk.
And then
I'll be in my bunk.
Give me 15 minutes, I'll be in my office.
Well, unfortunately, actually, what Picard does, he rushes up to the bridge and says, let's get out of here, this crazy planet.
We forgot about shore leave.
Forget the shore leave.
We're not staying here now.
Yeah, Loxana's down there. I can't go down there.
They just warp out of there as fast as possible.
No. They warp out about as slow as possible. They say warp two. I'm like, what?
Well, they don't have to go that fast.
I mean, like, I think isn't like basic cruising speed like warp five at least?
I always wondered that when they travel to different planets, like why not just go warp like 8 or 9 always? Because you'd be there super fast.
Like in the Next Generation era, there's a thing that if you go like too fast, if you go like above warp 7 like too often, you can like destroy subspace.
Right, I remember that episode.
And then in Voyager, they kind of like, oh yeah, well this thing fixed that. So like later they can't. But I mean, like 5 I think is like safe cruising speed, and like 2, like that's just so slow.
Still faster than the original series because they're working on transwarp. Everyone's
yeah, like the warp scale is different between the original series and I think the movies is when they start getting to what the Next Generation scale,
right?
Although you know that's behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, so and that basically wraps up the episode. Anybody want to have their?
Oh, Amanda Lynn, since you are here and you picked this episode, what's your thoughts on the episode first, and why? What's one of your favorites? I know you've kind of maybe mentioned a little bit, but I mean,
yeah, like what,
now
when
this
you,
is like your spotlight.
Obviously, you said that you had Deanna Troi is one of your favorite characters from Next Gen, so obviously that's a big plus.
Well, it would be because it's a Deanna episode. I identify with her the most out of all the characters, but it's also a really good Data episode, like an early Data episode where you get to see him just enjoying people. And then of course there's the whole thing with the mom and I don't know. I enjoy all the little quips, all the little details. I love the story of this one. You know, she was a little girl, got betrothed. She went off to start a career. And then finally the day comes and they're like, oh, you have to honor this. And she's like, I don't want to, but I will. Because that's the kind of person she is.
Right. Yeah,
and,
no, that's cool.
And I enjoy that.
No, I mean, it's cool because I think, like I was talking before, I think that we don't see it a lot here in our culture, but that arranged marriage is a thing.
Yeah.
In a lot of different countries. And that, obviously, Star Trek doesn't just, appeal to us in, America and in the Western countries. I mean, it obviously goes worldwide. So I think a lot of people can identify with that in some level. In fact, I've known some people, like guys are from India who actually, have arranged marriages. And they, you know, they come to America and they have, like, romances with somebody else. They have to get married to whoever they were told to. So...
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about Star Trek. It hits on lots of different social and, you know, commentary and across all sorts of different bases. And you know, they've got lots of different alien cultures, which, I mean, a lot of times they used, you know, based off other
right
ones on Earth, just so it could be simpler. And
right, and right. Whatnot. But, yeah, and it had some, you know, it's nice to see that Deanna kind of like, you know, was embracing that culture and doing that. But, you know, and it's, you know, Data was fun in this episode. And, you know, I think it was a great introduction of Deanna's mom, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is the first of many Loxana Troi episodes. I'm looking forward to talking about more of those because they're always really good and she's always so good in them because she's so different from Nurse Chapel.
Oh yeah,
like in her acting and stuff like that, like very different. Because Nurse Chapel's very like shy and like hitting on Spock, but like you know, kind of like you know,
Spock.
Wishy-washy about it, but she's like, I don't know. And it's just a very different character. It's really cool to see her coming from that.
But she also played number one
in The Cage, most definitely. And she was completely different in that, too. And yeah. It was so good.
She always has an impressive entrance. It doesn't really matter what you cast her in. She, as an actress, like, she seems just so impressive. And for the introduction to Lexana was just, it was a very impressive entrance.
How
and
she's backwards on the transporter pad when
nobody gets beamed down backwards, but she figures it out.
Like she starts off at this peak, this absolute high, and her entire presence in Star Trek does nothing but go up.
Yeah.
She's just, it's like watching a roller coaster.
Well, like I said, this one is like, although everything's there, it's not quite as like big as she can be. Like later on, she gets even, like, it's better and better. So yeah, I love her character. So she's a great reoccurring character that we see over and over again. So.
I love it. In the episode where she's like at her sexual peak and it's like four times, and Riker's like four times.
right, exactly.
It's like four times more aroused than usual. It's like, I can deal with that.
Riker's like, beam me to her quarters.
I got this.
That being said.
Yes, that being said.
You are the most beautiful woman in the galaxy. You don't know how long I've wanted to tell you that.
But you're afraid.
Yes.
Of me.
Of us, of what we might become. Then you're inviting me in.
I'm not sending you away.
That's more than I expected.
Is it as much as you hoped?
To hope is to recognize the possibility. I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars. The universe worships the night.
Careful. Putting me on a pedestal so high you may not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You are the heart in my day and the soul in my night.
We lost two more relays. I can't.
Shut up, kid.
And today, the obvious score is Mr. Wyatt.
Yes, Mr. Wyatt. He's the one who scored in the end. We could have done a Riker's fail, but that would be a terrible, terrible way to do this. But
well, he doesn't fail. He wins because Wyatt goes away, and he's free to continue to tease.
But we're going
to
give it to Wyatt. Wyatt takes off with his plague bride.
Yes. And her mini tube top.
And her mini tube top.
I don't even understand why he even, like, goes. He's already said goodbye to his parents. He's already said goodbye to Deanna Troi. He's been drawing this woman ever since he was old enough to hold a crayon.
Right.
And he's like, one second, I'm going to talk to my parents one more time.
Whoa.
I'm just like, I just love how, like, sometimes it's like right, you only see her head, and then all of a sudden they pan back and they see, like, you know, all of her. Yeah. And I'm just like, and I just love, like, she's just standing there when you first see her, and her dad goes like, oh, okay, you've distracted them enough. I'm going to talk now.
Yeah, everyone's distracted by your midriff. Okay, now. But, you know, here's the thing is.
That's a nice belly button.
Yeah. But the thing is that you
bounce a quarter off that thing.
But the thing is that you literally have somebody who had their this is their dream. This is their dream woman. This is like you, the person that you imagined when you were, you know, as a kid. And you actually get to meet them. Like, this isn't like, you know, like, this is like one of those crazy things. Like, you know, some people, you know, have that idealized
the
person.
Woman, yeah. The
woman, man that you're gonna marry, you're going to, you know, do whatever. And he actually meets her.
He's been dreaming about her, drawing her. She's been drawing him because, like, she, like, I mean, like, you know, I mean, this one thing is, you know, conceptualizing this woman and, like, you know, seeing her and drawing her. But then you beam in to, I guess, her quarters or her display case of all the things she's drawn of you.
There's only eight on the ship, so.
Well, but still, like, I mean, like, you know, you've got this fantasy, but then, like, or you know, this dream. And then all of a sudden that it's just as important on her side, like that,
sure.
That level of attraction must have been like off the charts, like mentally and emotionally for Wyatt.
Yeah, it's definitely, but I would definitely have to say this is still the part where I'm I'm very, very, very hard suspending my disbelief on the psychic.
The universe is just making it happen.
Or whatever like that. You know, like it's the, you know, people say the one. Like, okay, you know, I don't know if I've met the one yet. Well, the one for you might be an Aborigine living in Australia that's wearing like nothing but a loincloth. So, you know,
Have you been drawing her since you were young?
Have you gone to Australia? Have you met every person on the... That's why I always have like an issue when people say I haven't met the one yet, because it's like, look, the one could be anybody. As long as you have a connection with that person.
The one is Neo.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. If you can dodge bullets.
Can he dodge bullets?
Can he just knock him out of the sky?
Plink, plink. Oh, Quicksilver can do that.
Yeah.
In Days of Future Past, he cannot do that in Age of Ultron, apparently.
Yeah, he dies in there. Yeah, yeah. I like that. I like the Days of Future Past Quicksilver way better.
The funny thing is like I thought it was going to be way better in Age of Ultron, and it totally wasn't.
No, he's sort of like a side character. Anyways, yeah, so why it definitely went. I mean, and I think he handled everything really well. I mean, he doesn't come off as a creep. That's the most important thing. Wyatt comes out as...
Yeah, he's so sincere. The actor was really excellent, yeah, who played Wyatt. And he looks really familiar. I don't know...
He plays... he's actually... If you ever saw Prison Break, he plays like one of the villains in Prison Break. He was in, I don't know, 8 seasons of that. You know?
I never watched Prison Break.
That's a good episode.
Maybe I recognized him from the commercials. I know I've seen the commercials for Prison Break.
He's in a lot. He's in a lot of different TV and smaller movies.
But he's got a very, very strong jaw.
Yeah, he does. I'd kill to have a jaw like that. Man.
They're pronounced.
Yeah, yeah. That's definitely a kingmaker there for a jaw. So
it's surprised he wouldn't get bigger roles with a face like that. He's
yeah,
an extremely handsome man. And
no, he's actually. I mean, but if you look at his IMDb page, it's just,
it's probably huge.
It just goes on and on and on and
lots
on
of
on.
Lots of things when they need pretty men with
strong
jaws.
No big roles. Not that I recognize him from, but a lot of
he's still getting steady work. I mean, that's good.
As long as you're working. I mean, I'm sure guys like that wish they could have that huge role, but I mean, still, it's nice to have it. But so yeah, he doesn't come off as a creep. He definitely, you know, seems sincere, and but when he sees the woman of his dreams, he goes for it. He's willing to beam onto a plague ship. I mean, I don't know what love is if it's not beaming onto a plague ship for your dream girl,
where you are initially or immediately infected and have no hope or very little hope of returning and meeting anybody else.
Yeah.
That's a one-way trip.
That's a one-way trip.
And she was very thankful for his courage. I knew you'd be this courageous. Did she dream of that too?
I don't know.
Giggity.
I probably dreamed of a lot.
Ah!
It's like, maybe that's why. Maybe that's why he wasn't in a hurry. He's like, yeah, I've already dreamed it a million times. I don't
I know what's going to happen.
It'll be fine.
So
no tension at all.
So there you have it. There we have the Haven episode. I enjoyed it. It was nice to see. The only complaint I had about this episode, and I told you, is that the first episode, just the pacing is a lot slower than
the first season.
Yeah, first season. Very, very is like you actually see people like walking to places. Sometimes you're like, what? Just cut that out.
Like, this is, like, actually, like, I know this is back.
We're not having a conversation. We don't need it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm actually thinking, remembering, I didn't mention this during the dinner scene, but, like, I actually, like, this is, like, one of the only times I actually kind of like Tasha's hair. It's like, it's got that weird, like fluffed up look.
But that was only for the dinner. Yeah, when she's just the floppy hair.
Yeah, Beverly had her hair, like, done in an interesting bun.
Picard did his hair differently.
Yeah, Picard, like, put extra wax on his head.
Yeah, he shined it.
It was extra shiny.
Beverly shined my head.
Like, LeVar Burton was Geordi in the scene, and I love he just kind of face palms whenever Data does the line about the wanting to. See the shenanigans continue.
Yeah, you know, petty bickering. Yeah, no.
I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
Well, like, I wish they would have done her hair like that more often, because I think she's a lot more attractive with the hair she had at the dinner scene than she is with her, like, regular hair.
Mm.
Also, her hair whenever she had sex with Data was also kind of...
You sounded a lot like Khan with the hair advice.
You should lay your hair down. No, I just, like, I don't know. Like, I just... Hey, I didn't touch your hair and, like, wasn't, like, raping your head with my fingers.
Dave, I know, but if we put you back in the set of 1987 Star Trek Next Generation, would you be going, this hair, it looks better around your shoulders, see, much more beautiful.
Well,
now,
even
now let me crush your hand.
Let me crush your hand while you're on your knees.
Because I'm a giant dick.
No, see, in 87, I would have been four, so I would have been like, I want to play with my toys or watch Mighty Mouse or...
Mighty Mouse.
Dinosaurs are cool. I probably wouldn't have...
just born.
I probably wouldn't have said anything about her hair.
Yeah, so... But yeah, anyways, good, fun episode. Yeah, thanks for bringing this episode up, Mandolin, just so we could kind of go over something that... I don't know, I wouldn't... Yeah, I haven't really thought about this episode in a while.
I don't think I would have willingly picked a Season 1 Next Generation episode to talk about.
I like some stuff of Season 1. It's just that after you get into the further seasons, it's like there's so much more compelling.
So much better after the second season. But right. This is probably one of my favorite episodes of the first season because it's a Loxana Choi episode. If it's got Loxana in it or if it's got Q in it, it's probably going to be a good episode.
Except Farpoint's a little hard.
Well, the funny thing about Farpoint is that the Q part was added on because they wanted them to do a two-hour pilot.
Yeah.
And the Farpoint stuff was the original script, and Q was just added on, like, tacked on, and that was, to me, way more compelling than the Farpoint stuff.
That Farpoint thing was...
so dumb.
Yeah.
Let's let the jellyfishes have love.
No jellyfish love.
No, I wanted to pick this one in Season 1 just in case you guys did let me come on the show again so we could build from there.
Ah.
More
so,
Loxana Troy episodes.
I see what you're playing at.
Nice. Well, yeah, it was definitely a fun episode to watch, and I you know, I can't remember last time I seen it, but I once I watch it, I remember everything very clearly on this episode because it was a very there's a lot of memorable things about it. So
Data is so amazing.
Yeah. Data.
So cool.
So, thanks for listening, guys. Live long and prosper.
Thank you all for listening. All my music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at synthaholicduo. If you'd like to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan.
You can follow me, Aaron O'Brien, at Blackbird2004. Faith, where can they find you?
You can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. And if you have a chance, please rate and review so we can improve. And any feedback is welcome. And so we can make the show even better for you.
Live long and prosper, guys. At the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Oh, oopsie. Yeah, I wasn't recording yet.
That's good, because that was...
Oh, well played.
That was not... Wait.
Well, no, we hadn't... I mean, we're still...
Wait.
What?
Chief, this just in.
Two scoops!
Raisin Bran has two scoops of raisins.
Only two?
Two scoops. It makes it all a complete breakfast.
That's a horrible balance to the actual bran.
But, Chief, it makes you go poop.
But raisins make you go poop, too.
The bran helps, too.
Can we get three scoops?
It would put off the chemistry, Chief. You're missing the point.
No!
I got a scoop here. Two scoops.
Two scoops!
All right.
This is what we were talking about before you guys got here.
Yeah,
so.
We're talking two scoops of raisins.